Howdy, friends. How are you doing this very day? We are the AddedSouls.com podcast powered by the Spencer Church of Christ in Wisconsin. My name is Stéphane Maillet, and I am your audio and video servant for this episode, this session, this time. What are we looking at? Evolution pollution. Oh, what's going on with that? Evolution pollution. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys. You know, we like to monkey around. And so was the jingle found in September 12, 1966 by the comedic group Four-Man Crew that we found on TV known as the Monkees. Friends, the theory, keyword theory of evil, I like to call it evolution, is something we now seem to have accepted everywhere, right? In the sphere of the secular realm into which our entourage is encompassed in today's culture. And it's just, it's common. I mean, you're a moron. You're a fool if you don't believe in evolution. I mean, it's science. It's a fact. It's a fact. It's a fact that nothing exploded into something eons and billions of years ago into this primordial soup that just, you know, evolved. And to say otherwise is just, you're a science denier. I mean, obviously, you're probably some kind of religious nut job or something along those lines, right? Right? I mean, that's the kind of common ground we see this day and age, don't we, regarding the theory. And that's a key word. You see, people want to forget this whole word here, theory. We want to say it's a scientific fact. Evolution is a scientific fact. Well, no, it's a theory. It's a theory. But is this theory accurate with the Bible? Because we're talking about Christians here. We're talking about Christianity and those of us who should respect and understand the Bible to be inspired, God breathed, the communication given to us by the great I Am, the perfect law of liberty, the information, the sole source of information given to us today on how we human beings can become in a friendly relationship with God, and how we are to worship in spirit and truth, and how we are to behave and all of that good stuff, okay? So we should at the very least understand the Bible and respect the Bible. So how do we look at the evolution pollution within the realm of Christendom? Well, we need to understand there's a few positions. Of course, the atheist position on evolution is quite simple. The nothing exploded into something, and here we are. Now, the atheist, he removes God from the creation process and from the origin. There's no God. Everything is natural. Everything you see here made itself. Nothing made it. It made itself in some way, form, or fashion. And there's various branches in atheism. Some claim to be atheists, but really they're leaning towards agnosticism. Some are staunch atheists who just claim nothing at all but nature itself created. There's various branches. It all depends on who you're talking to when it comes to atheism. Now, you have also in another category the theist. The one who believes, okay? The so-called Christian who believes in God and God created, but he somehow wants to put into the mix here this evolution thing within the text of the Bible. And so he is a theist who believes in evolution. So the atheist believes in evolution because there's no God, and so therefore there must be some kind of answer to this existence, and they claim evolution as one of the process. The theist says, well, God, of course, created, but he created and then it evolved. God allowed it to evolve and take the millions and billions of years to get to where we are at now. But what does the Bible say? Now, you can tell me what you think the Bible says, but what does the Bible actually say? I wanted to know these things, you know, because when I was entertaining the idea of atheism and is there really a God, and when I was entertaining the idea of evolution, which was taught to me in school, I mean, it's taught to every child in school now, it's kind of common knowledge for them to understand that we were once primordial soup, and then we became a monkey, and then the monkey involved, well, the apes, okay, our so-called ancestors, right? So, I mean, it's just, was it true? Is it true? What's real and what's not real when it comes to this whole evolution thing? And so I had to categorize these theories and these worldviews in order to make sense of them. And so this lesson, this podcast session this day is titled Evolution Pollution. And there's a reason for it. I wanted to kind of just look at the text and allow the text to speak for itself. And I wanted us to be honest with the text and make sense of it also. Now, you can deny it and you can reject it, and that's fine. You have the free will to do so, and there will be consequences to that. But it's not my duty to put a gun to your head and say, believe this, that, and the other. I just want to present what the Bible says. And as a Christian, if we respect the Bible in any shape, form, or fashion, we should, at the very least, want to listen to the information therein. Because the idea of inserting worldly views and theories and practices and behaviors into Christianity is nothing new. We need to understand this platform from the get-go. Christians wanting to bring in what's in the world into the church is nothing new. Believers wanting to insert heathenistic, paganistic worldviews and practices into their faith is nothing new. And we can understand that, and we can see that in the book of Corinthians when Paul was speaking to the church there, the Christians of the day. I mean, they would go ahead and practice sexual immorality and fornication at the temple and practice all kinds of idolatry there, and then be at church on Sunday morning to worship God. You know, they were trying to mix and mesh the world and their practices into the faith that was grown through Christianity. And so, I mean, that's nothing new. And you also had, and bringing the world stuff, or bringing things that are not to be within the fold of Christianity, is nothing new also. The Jews of the day, the physical Israel, the Jews, you know, when the new covenant came with Jesus Christ, they had to let go the old system of Judaism, and many of them did not. Many of them wanted to bring in Judaism and kind of mix it up with Christianity, and Hebrews and Romans, wonderful books, were pretty much sermons rebuking that kind of attitude, that kind of a thing. And many other books, letters written to Gentiles wanting to bring in pagan and heathenistic practices within the church. Bottom line is, God is saying no. The inspired, God-breathed literature says no, Christians are not to bring in worldly ways and worldly thoughts and practices and behaviors and speech and beliefs into the fold of Christianity, because Christianity is a unique and wonderful system of intelligence, and it needs not any perversion from the world to walk into its doors. We want to keep the house clean, is kind of what's going on here. But we want to look at this evolution pollution, and we want to see what the scriptures have to say with evolution. Evolution simply says it takes millions and billions of years to produce something. And does that match what the Bible has to say about things? You know, that's kind of what we're looking at. So, the scriptures speak of a beginning. We kind of need to go to the origin of things in order to see what the scriptures have to say regarding the evolution theory. And of course, if you're a Christian and you want to understand the origin of life, you go to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, right? And I've been reading this over and over again and trying to find any credible, justifiable, plausible section within the verses, within the words of Genesis chapter 1, in which we could allow the text to plainly and honestly say that there are millions of years taking place, that God indeed created, but then created in a very what would be the right word? Primitive form. A primitive form, and then from there on, it evolved to an intelligent format, in which we now see currently in our age. But that took millions and billions of years. So I'm trying to see if I can fit millions and billions of years within the text of Genesis chapter 1. I honestly did that while I was entertaining the theory of evolution, and even perhaps the fact that maybe there is no God, and maybe atheism is the path to go in my younger years, or, well, younger years, I don't know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago now. So I read the text, and I'm reading the text, and I'm studying the text, and I'm looking at the original language, and I'm looking at everything I can look at to make sense of this and see how complicated it gets to insert millions and billions of years into a text. And let me tell you something, it is strenuous. You have to go through great lengths, and you have to deny many sound arguments that the text is making in order to do this kind of hooping and jumping all over the place to kind of insert years into this text that just cannot be found. And I saw that in the very plain reading of what is being declared here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Of course, chapter 1, verse 1, we see time, space, and matter being created simultaneously, which, of course, would make sense with science the way we see it today with the laws that are put in place, you know, cause and effect and all of that good stuff. Then I look at how the days were described and the things that were created within those days, and I see verse 5 of chapter 1 say one day, and then I see verse 8 say the second day, and verse 13 I see the third day, verse 19 I see the fourth day, verse 23 I see the fifth day, and then I think we had to... in verse 31, we see the sixth day. And then in chapter 2, the beginning of chapter 2, Genesis, we see the seventh day. God completed his work. Completed. That's an interesting word, is it not? Because it is one in which is brought to its desired finish point, its conclusion. It is completed. There's nothing else to do. Which is interesting to me that a God would describe his work as one being completed if indeed it was put in motion to evolve and not be completed until several millions and billions of years later. Now, I want you to think about that if you're a Christian and that you find yourself juggling the belief system of evolution and Christianity together and trying to mesh that together. I want you to just reason with me here. Why on earth would God say the work was completed if it was not completed? And that struck out to me. That's something that I wanted to honestly critique and understand and see and make sense of. And again, it always pointed me back to the 24-hour day session that was taking place within the creative narrative and the account there recorded for us in Genesis. And so reading that made me solidify my grounds in the evidence of science that we can see today and how it pointed back to this moment in history when things began, how something natural had to be created by an outside source that was not affected by the natural, and therefore in comes, insert, God, the supernatural divine being, the great I Am, who has to be outside the natural system and law, because he can't be subject to the natural laws. If one is to create a natural law, you must be outside the system in which you are creating, the power behind it, God, of course. And understanding this great power that has the ability to create a natural order to which we see, you know, male, female get together and give birth to another of mankind and so on and so forth, the trees, the plants, the stars, you know, everything has a natural order to them and an intelligence and a design. And God Almighty, all-powerful, had to be outside this law that he created in order to create the law. And that made a lot of sense to me going through this process in my life, in my younger years, and wanting to understand what's happening here. Well, now, looking back, it's almost a decade ago when I was really reading into these things and making sense of them. So, to me, the evidence and the truth, the objective truth of the evidence of chapter 1 Genesis clearly state a pattern in which we see 24-hour days, 6 days, the seventh complete completion is created. And this God, of course, if you allow him the authority and power to create everything you see, then why on earth would you not allocate to him the same power to have created everything you see in six literal days? I mean, what's the argument here? What are you trying to fit in? So that was definitely one area in which I had to take out the microscope and investigate to look at the way the text was reading and the words therein, and the word complete most certainly stuck out to me. Not only that, of course, the obvious day one, day two, day three, and the processes in there. And the things that are being created in those days cannot survive in of itself before another thing being created. And so it had to be condensed in a six-day format. If not, then we extend things like, I don't know, how do plants survive without light or sunlight for millions and billions of years? Well, they don't. That's the whole thing. You got to make sense of this. You got to be honest with the evidence of the text. And so that was definitely one area I went to. And another place that was interesting to me, of course, was where we go in Exodus, where Moses in chapter 20, verse 11 says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day." Now, I don't know about you, but if I've not been bamboozled or deceived in any kind of agenda, and I'm just a person sitting down and reading the text, I'm not going to believe it's billions and millions of years. I think it's going to be 7 days. Like, really? That simple. It's 7 days. I mean, why am I trying to fit in anything else in there? Now, even children understand the simplicity of the text revealing six literal days. And so the words of Paul the Apostle ring true in the text we'll be reading in Corinthians. And even Jesus, when he says in Matthew 11, 25, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes." I mean, you have these people who think themselves so intellectually powerful and so wise in their ways, and they have great speech, and they talk about these theories as if they are scientific fact. But at the end of the day, they're blinded to the straight, honest reading of the text. And as Christians, it is the most foolish thing to try to insert something in there that just does not belong in there. But again, throughout the ages, Christians have been wanting to do that. We want to bring in these heathenistic worldviews and practices and pagan behavior and all these things. And so we kind of want to be friends with the world on one hand, and we want to be friends with God on the other. And we're juggling these two things together that simply don't mix. I mean, what does light have to do with darkness? Is there any fellowship between light and darkness, between good and evil? Well, of course not. Of course not. Let me see here. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of where we're at with this evolution pollution, this evolution pollution. It dumbs down the importance of God's creation and power, and it also makes the New Testament writers out to be liars when Jesus himself makes reference to the beginning and the pattern therein, and many others, Paul himself also. Like, I mean, it just makes a fallacy of the scriptures if you're trying to insert evolution into this mix. And I can't, for the life of me, in my genuine search for truth, deny the fact that the scriptures speak of a plain six literal days in which the creation process and everything was made. I just cannot go against that. Now, it's easy for the atheist to be an evolutionist because the atheist denies the inspiration of the scriptures again, and so therefore his position is simple. I don't want to look at anything else. I'm going to unbox myself in this small little corner and just accept that evolution must be the process, because I do not want to believe in a God and a greater power that created anything. Then I'd be accountable, of course, to what I live and how I live. I don't want that. So therefore I remove God and the Bible, and it becomes easier for me to accept a theory that is simply never been proven as a fact. It don't matter how many times they scream that. It don't matter how many times they get in bed with Hollywood and trying to produce movies that scream that. And it don't matter how many Christians want to try to insert evolution in the text of the Bible. It don't matter. They're wrong. And you see, what's strange to me is the atheist claims that the believer in God is a fool, right? Well, the believer in God is now trying to accept and bring in the atheist worldview, the evolution, into the text, and they call us a fool for believing in a God, but we're trying to be friends with that. I mean, to me, it just doesn't seem to mesh very well, and it doesn't seem to make sense to me in that form and fashion. I mean, I don't know why a Christian would want to try to do that, but in all instances, some wonderful words here from Paul the Apostle to the Christians in Corinth, who again were dealing with an entourage in a time where people, you know, you had a lot of these so-called intellectuals of the community who thought themselves so wise in so many ways, when really they were just fools. And the text here displays this very well from Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. I quote, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." Okay, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he came back from the dead, and he, of course, walked among us again, and many witnesses saw that he raised from the dead. The entirety of the gospel of Jesus Christ is complete nonsense to the world. That's just foolishness. I mean, that's just not true. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man?" Verse 20 of chapter 1, 1 Corinthians. "Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, the Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." And what a strong testament indeed, these words rebuking some of the Christians of the day that had allowed nonsense of the world to infiltrate into the church and the practices therein. And Paul's like, we're not having it. These people, they think they're so smart, they want to claim that evolution is a fact, is a scientific fact, and that a God and any other form of believing or seeing is just complete nonsense. Well, hey, listen, they're going to think that way, they're going to believe that way. And so the power of the scriptures so plainly speak of a creation process that we can understand on a calendar system. That's why we have a calendar system today. We don't rate things in the millions and the billions of years because they don't exist. That's why. That's why you don't have a calendar that says day 200, 300, and million, and this happens to be a Tuesday. I mean, no. We have a set pattern, 12 months, and they are set with days. And the days are named, and the hours within the days allow us to have a scheduled and organized system in which we live on this earth and make sense of the time. And so that's why there's so many areas to reach in when you are honest and you're studying this in an honest way to come up with the conclusion that there's just no way that evolution can be a truth. Yet it's propagated and encouraged and bullied everywhere as you go. Evolution pollution. Evolution pollution. The idea that the world was created in 6 literal days by God is completely nonsense to the world. It's foolishness. It makes no sense to them. And to so-called believers trying to be like the world, why would you do that? I mean, Jesus himself referred to the creation period and chronological stewardship of time therein. Is Jesus a liar? Is Paul the Apostle a liar? You have to deny the Bible. So stop saying you're a believer and trying to insert things in the Bible that make up the author a liar. Now, again, for the atheist, it's easy for him. He just denies the whole thing. He just, there's no God, there's no Bible, there's no, not that. And then he just believes on what he wants to believe. But for the Christian who should know better, who should take God at his word when he says he's created something in a literal day, to deny that? I mean, is that wise for a Christian to do that? Listen, I don't want to meet God on that day believing things like that. I just do not. I do not want to do that because it skews the whole pattern and system and purpose and power of God. I don't want to do that. I do not want to do that. And so the words of Christ still ring true. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven on earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even children can read the account of Genesis chapter 1 and understand that the process took those days, literal days, 24-hour days, complete. And here's another little nugget for your jewelry box here, or your gem box. When you go back to Genesis chapter 1, I like the way the scripture reads. Before each day, it says a second day. There's the A. A second day, a third day, a fourth day, a fifth day, the sixth day. Friends, the simple article A and the proves ownership of a unique and distinct time period. It doesn't say some days, all days. A, the, it's specific, it's orderly, it's timely, it's chronological, and it is given in a stewardship of understanding that the sense of the hours are placed in here, and they do not, in no way, shape, or form, declare millions and billions of years. It's not there. Well, what about when God says a year is 1,000 years, and to him 10,000 years is a year? And friends, listen, context, context, context. Stop jumping around and trying to find something and make it fit somewhere where it don't fit. You ever see a kid put a box of puzzle, open a box of puzzles and put the puzzle on the table, and he's trying to make pieces fit where they don't fit, and it's just a mess? Yeah, basically I have to break pieces to try to make them fit. Well, that's what you're doing when you're trying to take things out of context in another book, in another chapter, another verse, and insert it somewhere where it don't belong. Listen, when God was saying that years to him are of no consequence, whether it be 1 year, 10,000 years, he's speaking of a completely different process and time and thing. Stick with the program. Stick with the context. What are we talking about here? It's the beginning, and it's the creation. And how many days? 6 days. Literal days. 24-hour days. And on the seventh, things were completed, finished, came to conclusion. All things had happened in an orderly and powerful way. A supernatural being created a natural realm. This took place. It is historically recorded. It's the most accurate thing we know that is in line with the science we have that can be used as a tool to further grow our faith. And I'll plug in our brother's ministry here with Apologetic Press. If you've not checked out apologeticspress.com, you should, because they have a wealth of knowledge and articles and videos and debates and everything in there that will help you make sense of the scripture as it was simply written, and it'll help you defend the truth when confronted with evolution pollution. So, I hope you take the things that I have shared with you seriously. I want you to look at them, because we can't have Christians walking around thinking evolution is a true thing and a real thing and trying to fit evolution into the text. It just don't belong there. It don't belong there. God don't want it there. God never intended it to be there. There is no such a thing as evolution in the pages of the Holy Bible. Okay? They don't match up with science. It don't match up with history. It don't match up with anything. It's a theory that people really liked to hear because it would release them from this guilty feeling and conscience that they have regarding their existence on this earth. It's just like, I don't want to feel guilty anymore. Evolution, oh, that sounds like a pretty good path to take. I won't feel guilty anymore because there's no God, and we've all evolved. We're all species, and there's really no purpose in life, and who cares what we do? And you see, like, it could go on and on and on. So I think it's important for us to understand and see and identify the evolution pollution. I spell it out as E-V-I-L, evil, evolution pollution. We need to be able to identify it and defend Christ when it comes our way. Because it's in the air all over the place and it stinks. And it's polluting the whole population here with a falsehood that is just not true. It's just trying to diminish and deny the power of God and his purpose for us on this earth. That's all it is. It's this. It's so simple when you just look, take a step back and look at the reasoning behind it. And every criticism there's ever been of the scriptures in the late in these centuries has been along the lines of this cause, this pollution. Oh, the Bible doesn't really, I don't think this writer wrote that. I don't think this, that, and the other. You can go into the dog hype hypothesis. You can go into all these different categories in which we see criticism of the text, the scriptures, and they all have the same origin, and that is evolution. They're trying to fit a natural thing into a supernatural event from a supernatural being, and they want to take him out of the show. They want to take him out of the process and the program, and it just can't be done. It just cannot be done. And so, evolution pollution, got to get rid of that. There is no such a thing as millions and billions of years in the Bible. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys. I think it's time we stop monkeying around. Okay, I think it's time we stop monkeying around. Evolution does not belong in the Lord's house. We got to be smart. We got to be wise. We got to study science. We got to study history. We got to study these things. We got to study the Bible. We got to learn how the simplicity of the Bible reveals the pattern and system that God designed. And we need to respect that, be submissive to that, and own it. Don't try to fellowship the world in their theories and ways. Flat out tell them. Tell them, there's no such thing as evolution, and yes, the earth was created in 6 literal days. You know you're going to get persecuted for it, and you know they're going to call you all kinds of... Who cares? It's the truth. What, do you want me to be a truth denier now like you? I don't want to do that. It's the truth. That's it. Or you're one of them crazy young earth people. You must be a religious fanatic. One of those right-wing extremists. Hey, whatever floats your boat, man. You want to call me any other name? Don't bother me. The Bible says what it says. I've looked at the evidence. I've studied science. I know what it says. I have my own mind. And I know what it says. You can't change that. Man, I love you guys. Stefan Maia here, your audio and video servant at this time. AddedSouls.com podcast powered by the Spencer Church of Christ in Wisconsin. I hope you guys stay positive, stay focused. I will meet you again here again tomorrow, Lord willing. God bless.